present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello, and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, we have four of our keenest and our regular competitors of the game. So let us right away get on with the proceedings. And as usual, I will ask them if they can speak for just 1 minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is on the card in front of me. And we'll begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, can you talk on the subject of the Naismith steam hammer drop forging process? Subject that Ian Mester's thought of to start the program.
Hang on. Steam hammer.
The Naismith steam hammer drop forging process. It's absolutely genuine. We will have 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I'm so glad for the first time in all the years that I've played this program that I've actually been given a subject that I know something about. The Naismith steam hammer drop forging process. The first Naismith came over, he was a Huguenot, came over from what is now the Netherlands, Jan. He arrived in Norfolk at the turn of the 17th century. And there he started in the wool trade, and his grandson went up to the potteries to Stoke-on-Trent. And there he met, first of all, Wealdon and Asprey and Enoch Wood, the elder. And that was a tremendous influence on his life, because whilst working, making these lovely clay figures, he found the need for the drop forging process. And getting into his little house where he lived, very pretty, semi-detached it was, I remember, with green curtains, he one day drew up the plans for the Naismith steam hammer drop forging process, went along to his boss come the morn and said, "Here you are, what-ho, look what I have for you." Well, and if I may say, that was an absolute load of rubbish.
You don't need to emphasize the fact it was obvious to all of us, Derek. But nobody buzzed him. He kept going for 60 seconds, so he gets a bonus point for speaking when the whistle went. So at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo has a commanding lead of 2 over all the others, if only for the fact the others have yet to speak. So now we will move on to Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, nice to hear from you at last. The subject, oh, for you, sauciness. Talk about that for 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I suppose it could be applied to these things you shove on food. On the other hand, of course, it could be the impertinence that's off or... Oh.
Challenge.
Hesitation.
I think it's very ungallant of you.
Well, I am ungallant.
You shouldn't say that again. All this women's rights stuff. It's disgraceful, isn't it?
So you get a point for a correct challenge, Sheila. You take over the subject of sauciness. 52 seconds left, starting now.
Sauciness usually means something rather cheeky. As, for instance, those postcards that you can buy at the seaside with rather rude things written underneath and fat ladies and men with red noses. Also, I suppose garters and black suspenders and things like that are considered slightly saucy. Kenneth Williams occasionally can be saucy, as when he accuses me.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Condition of saucy. The subject is sauciness.
Yes, you're allowed to repeat the subject on the card, yeah. Sheila, which is sauciness, but you repeated saucy. So Derek has a correct challenge, a point, and there are 26 seconds left. Derek, starting now.
I often like to go to Scotland for my holidays, particularly to Loch Ness. And, you know, if you go there during the mating season, oh, Ness is very saucy.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hello.
Is that your challenge?
Deviation. There is no mating season for the Loch Ness Monster.
She mentioned the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes,
I imagine that all the locals up there were mating. And I don't think he was deviating from the subject on the card. So he keeps it and has 18 seconds for sauciness starting now.
Those lovely postcards at Brighton of big fat men saying underneath, "When did you last see your little Willie?" I always like them. I laugh
cut the drains flow with all...
Kenneth Williams is shut.
I don't believe this laughing till the drains flow.
No.
I think that's deviation, and if such an occurrence did happen, it would be most inhygienic.
Sanitary.
Yes, I think
unhygienic.
You got the wrong word.
Insanitary,
laugh until the something else flows, till the tears flowed, he was trying to say, and he said the drains. Maybe his tear ducts are like drains, we don't know, but... Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. 7 seconds on sauciness, starting now.
It could be described as the proud man's contumely or the insolence of office. I myself have experienced.
Well, Kenneth Williams was then speaking when the whistle went, so he has gained a point. And at the end of an extra point for that, at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo has increased his lead. He is 2 ahead of Kenneth Williams. He's 3 ahead of Sheila Hancock. And Clement Freud, for once, has yet to score. But Clement Freud will now speak, having said hello. And the subject for him to speak on is my rights in this program. That's a very apt subject. Clement, so there's the subject. 60 seconds starting now.
My rights in this program are absolutely negligible. Every now and again, I'm allowed to go outside and help the audience who are sheltering under nothing at all, not to come into the theatre, which is empty and waiting for their arrival. I'm very grateful to the BBC for allowing me to do this.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Repetition of B. BBC.
BBC. Yes. Well, listen, 30 seconds on my rights in this programme, starting now.
My favourite right on this programme is to look across at old Freud and Kenny's sometimes smiling way.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
I'm C. Freud. I don't know who owns
that. That's another one of those impossible interpretations.
He is old.
So
he
what's your challenge, Clement?
Deviation.
Deviation. Deviation from old Freud.
I thought he said O. Freud.
No, old Freud.
Old, that's old Freud. I mean, do you wish me to put it to the audience whether they think you're old or not? All right. If you think Clement Freud is old, will you cheer? And if you don't think he's old, will you boo? And you all do it together now.
Boo!
They all think you're very young, Clement. So he was deviating, so you've got a point from the audience. You haven't got it from me. And there are 19 seconds on my rights in this programme, starting now.
My rights in this programme are to make genuine and realistic observations and receive the total acknowledgement and contentment of these lovely people who have come here on this... Kenneth Williams sitting on my right, there's no one on my left, nods his head...
Freud, with some help and encouragement from the audience then, move forward. He's now in second place behind Derek Nimmo. Sheila, your turn to begin, and the subject is names. Would you talk on that simple one-word subject, 60 seconds, starting now?
This is a subject very close to my heart at the moment, as I am expecting a baby shortly and haven't the slightest idea what to call it. I am surrounded by those books that give you names from A to Z, and still I can't make up my mind. Any suggestions would be very welcome. The other thing...
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Fred.
Thank you. Fred.
It shall be Fred. So give Derek a point for an amusing challenge which the audience enjoyed. Value for money. Sheila keeps the subject and continues on names. And Sheila, there are 40 seconds left, starting now.
I have the most terrible trouble remembering people's names when I'm introduced. And I heard a broadcast just recently where a man suggested that when you are given somebody's name, you should look at their face and try and link that said name with something about their appearance. Trying to do it for this team, for instance, if one took Clement Freud, I suppose that name could be vaguely related to fried, and if you think of eggs done in that way, perhaps his eyes are remotely like that, and one might remember that.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of remember.
Oh, you you challenged her out of that one. There are 2 seconds for you on names, Clement, starting now.
Fred, William, Harry.
Clement Freud then got the point for speaking when the whistle went. Derek's still in the lead, Clement in second place, and Kenneth and Sheila in third place. And Derek, your turn to begin. We're back with you. The subject, bangers. 60 seconds starting now.
I once had a 1938 Buick, which was my favorite banger that I've ever possessed, and it only did 8 miles to the gallon, which was a tremendous handicap. And when I first bought it, it developed a hole in the petrol tank on one-way day driving from Liverpool to...
Sheila Hancock.
One-way day.
One-way day? We have a one-way street, we have a one-way day. What's wrong?
Sheila, you have a point and you have 45 seconds on bangers starting now.
There is nothing nicer to eat than bangers and mash, particularly if they're cooked.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
There is.
You may think there is. Sheila doesn't, so she wasn't deviating from the subject, and she has 40 seconds to continue on bangers starting now.
On a barbecue. And to do this, you have to have your charcoal.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of have.
Oh, it's too mean to have.
Have to have, yes.
Yes, to have, but it's correct. All right, 35 seconds bangers with you, Clement, starting now.
In France, they call their bangers saucisson, and perhaps the best sausage of all is one made by pouring champagne onto the hot pig meat, which sort of drinks up the moisture and becomes absolutely delicious. You add mace, spices, pepper, salt, and with the fat taken from the pig, you...
Derek Nimmer's challenge.
Two pigs.
Pig meat, hyphen. Well, you use the word pig, whether you hyphen or not, you use the word pig, and that is repetition, and there are 12 seconds on bangers with Derek starting now.
My favourite banger is made from the goat.
We've already been told his favourite banger is a Buick. Now he says they're made from the goat. I mean, now, which banger is he talking about?
A different guy.
The deviation here is profound. And I suggest the subject be given to me as the proper custodian.
I think, in view of the situation, it's probably the best thing we can do, as we haven't heard from you for a time, and you have 8 seconds on bangers, Kenneth, starting now.
The experience that stays in my memory inextricably connected with the fortune.
Kenneth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Tsar Nicholas I. I don't know how much you know about that particular czar. Could you talk about it for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, he was a great autocrat. There's little doubt about that. And some question as to his ascendancy, because his brother, Constantine, was older. This gave rise to what was known as the Decembrist conspiracy. They tried, abortively, albeit, to do him in. But with a heavy hand and his awful sort of grandeur and militaristic stance, he was said to have invoked the Crimean War, and Prince Radetzky, who defended the guns when Cardigan rushed up and said, "Go on, get out of it, you load of fool with popinjays, all dressed up with gold facings and great reveres they had on." Looked very nice, mind you. But of course, the Light Brigade was wiped out, as you well know. And Victoria said afterwards, she said, that it should never have been allowed.
She said...
Yes.
Oh, you are rotten. You had 5 seconds to go.
Well, he keeps buzzing me when I've only got 5 seconds.
Yes, you're quite right, Sheila. He was very interesting, though, wasn't he? Very, very interesting. Give him a round of applause for being there. We now know Kenneth really knows his Russian history. So, but he did say, he said, she said, quite a lot. 4 seconds left, Sheila, starting now.
Tsar Nicholas I was, in fact, the first to be called Nicholas.
Sheila's now in second place, equal with Clement behind Derek Nimmo. And Clement, your turn to begin. The art of toleration. Can you talk on that subject, Clement, for 60 seconds, starting now?
I'm not sure that toleration is a word that I've come across. Tolerance, I would have said, the art of... But toleration possibly could mean a game played by 13 men on one side and 27 ladies on the other, involving a hard-backed black rubber disc, which is projected from one edge in a northeasterly direction towards the foothills of the Andes Mountains, where this sort of thing goes on to an extraordinary degree and is much appreciated, especially by camels and llamas who go there in the mating season after leaving Bangor on Dee and other holiday resorts in order to enjoy themselves on the Sunday League trip, which is such extremely good value at the moment. The art of top...
Sheila Hancock challenged.
He is speaking a load of rubbish, isn't he?
Sheila, you have a point and you have 6 seconds on the art of toleration starting now.
I am going to be compassionate and assume that Ian Messiter can't help being illiterate. And I...
And as Sheila Hancock said, can't help being illiterate, he blew his whistle as if to silence her. But she got the extra point for speaking when the whistle went. She's now equal in the lead alongside Derek Nimmo, with Clement 2 points behind and Kenneth Williams only 4 behind the two leaders. Sheila, your turn to begin, and the subject is understandings. 60 seconds starting now.
There's something slightly underhand about this word. One assumes it means something a little bit corrupt.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Two somethings.
Yes.
Yes, there was. That was a sharp challenge. There are 50 seconds left for you, Kenneth, on understandings starting now.
You could say that a husband and wife have an understanding. You could say that also of friendships. And, of course, diplomacy involves, invariably, certain understandings, like the NATO alliance. One's reaction to an announcement by the United States of America would be very much influenced by what we call the Atlantic understanding, which in our case, because we have a lingua franca...
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Well, is he allowed to keep repeating understanding in the singular when it's understandings on the card?
No, he's not.
I think he is.
Well, you challenged me for doing that.
Well, you challenged her for doing that.
I think it's ludicrous because apart from the fact that, you know...
Well, we haven't got time for an academic conversation, actually. The point is that I gave a decision when...
I am here for one of the finer things of life, and I happen to be one of them. And I haven't...
What you've just said is...
These people have come a long way to see me, and I haven't spoken for ages.
I've
come all the way from Great Portland Street. We've had to listen to this dreary rubbish from her.
Listen, you've been going with dreary rubbish for 40 seconds.
I don't care about that. And it's disgraceful. I'm not going to have it, I mean.
I must be fair, Kenneth. I gave right and
right. Fair? What would you know about fair? You've got no idea. No idea. You keep on saying, shall we put it in the audience? Shall we ask the audience? That's all you do on this program. You know, what are the chairman, the fly to the moon? I could do it better and play the game.
Right, Kenneth, I'll sit down there.
Yes,
Kenneth,
they all agree.
Would you like to come and change places?
No, I'm not going to do it this week because my contract doesn't say it.
Understanding.
Yes, exactly.
No, Kenneth, if I was to give in to you now, then I wouldn't be a responsible chairman.
You would have her again, are you?
Yes, because understanding...
Fasten your safety belt, dear.
Sheila, 20 seconds left, starting now.
I'd like to know how this word originated, actually. It must be probably...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of actually. She started off by saying actually.
I would like to know how, this word...
Oh, no, the previous time you began talking about...
Clement Freud, you have 17 seconds on understanding, starting now.
I have a tremendous understanding with Sheila Hancock. And the fact that she is going to have a baby very soon, called Fred, has nothing to do with this at all. In fact, her daughter, with whom I also have had understandings, in as much as we talked to each other on a previous occasion...
OK, Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went. He's now moved forward into second place alongside Derek Nimmo, but Sheila Hancock is still 1 point ahead in the lead. Derek Nimmo, it is back with you again, and the subject now is misunderstandings. Would you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Gosh, isn't it easy in this world to have a misunderstanding? Do you know, sometimes one wakes up on a cloudless day and looks up at the sun and thinks all's right with this world. And you go outside and you meet perhaps a passing bluebottle, and through that, your whole day becomes one filled with stress and turmoil. Misunderstandings come up at every moment. You board a bus, and before you know, more misunderstandings take place. And you get so filled with despair, and tears well into your eyes. Misunderstandings everywhere. Is there any hope at all for mankind, you say? Oh, God, it is heaven. Please look down upon me. Give me some kind of assistance today.
Derek Nimmo, in one of his quieter moods, kept going for 60 seconds with lots of misunderstandings. And, oh, it's very interesting. You're one ahead of Sheila, Sheila's one ahead of Clement, and Clement is two ahead of Kenneth. And, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. Oh, Kenneth, a nice subject for you. My last date. Don't make eyes at that lovely doggy in the front row. Would you like to talk on my last... And I've just been told we have to finish at the end of this subject, probably, because we don't think we've got much more time. So keep going, if you can, for 60 seconds, starting now.
I presume by these it dies me in calendar differences. So I would say the first one, of course, being 1066, William the Conqueror. My second date was, of course, the...
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
No, not really. I was going to say 66, but of course it wasn't any good, so I withdraw it. I could just see it, you see. I could see two sixes, and I was seeing repetition of six, and it's no good at all. I withdraw it. Very foolish challenge. I do apologise to everybody for wasting their time.
Kenneth Williams has got 52 seconds for my last date, starting now.
It would be 1453, which, as you all know, saw the collapse of that incredible city, Constantinople. They were fighting on the walls, and the blood, we are told, flowed down into the Bosphorus. Oh, that I could have been there and shared in this historic moment when the bell of Hagia Sophia rang out, warning all in Christendom of this appalling event.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
It warned all people irrespective of their religion.
Just say your challenge again.
Well, he's right. I said warned all Christendom. He said it warned all people, regardless of their religion.
Oh, I see, yes. Oh, well, that's a very good challenge, isn't
it?
There are 22 seconds of you, Clement, on my last date, starting now.
My last date came from Tunisia and was in a box marked O Charlie. And it had a fork of plastic in the middle. There were, in fact, 43 dates in the box, which was made of some light wooden material. And when I got to the last one, the stone stuck between two eye teeth.
Well, as I thought when we began that round, we probably would have only enough time for one more round. That has turned out to be true, and so now I will give you the final score. Kenneth Williams did very well. We heard a lot from him in spite of what he said. He finished in a very strong fourth position, just behind Sheila Hancock. But Sheila Hancock was only 1 point behind two joint winners this week, because Clement Freud's date brought him up to equal first place with Derek Nimmo. Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.